नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। नमो नलिननेत्राय वेणुवाद्य विनोदिने राधाधर सुधापान शालिने वनमालिने महाभावस्वरूपास्त्वं कृष्ण प्रिय वरीयसि प्रेम भक्ति प्रदे देवी श्रीराधिका त्वं नमोस्तुते। हरे कृष्ण। सो विल कंटिन्यू फ्रॉम ब्रह्मास प्रेयर्स फॉर क्रिएटिव एनर्जी Third Canto, Chapter 9th and Text Number 10. Can all of you come this side? I'm not that scary. Huh?
You're not.
No, it's not scary.
So, in last three prayers, we have discussed that how Brahmaji is praying to their Lordship for the living entities who are born in this material world and bereft of the most fortunate thing, and that is discussion about the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. So as explained in the seventh verse, that those are the most unfortunate personalities who does not take advantage of hearing about the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. Then what happened to them exactly? That is explained in the text number 10, which we are going to discuss now. Here Brahmaji says, Anya apatrutrakarana nishinishayana nana manoratadhyakshana bhagna nidraha daivahatarathrachana ऋषयोपि देवा युष्मत् प्रसंगा विमुका इह संसरन्ति। सच अ नॉन डिवोटीज एंगेज देयर सेंसेस इन अ वेरी ट्रबलसम एंड एक्सटेंसिव वर्क एंड दे सफर इनसोम्निया एट नाइट बिकॉज देयर इंटेलिजेंस कॉन्स्टेंटली ब्रेक्स देयर स्लीप with a various mental speculations. They are frustrated in all their various plans by supernatural power. Even a great sages, if they are against your transcendental topics, must rotate in this material world. Daiva Hatartha Rachana. He says, Daiva Hatartha, who are frustrated with what? With the supernatural powers. Who are not engaged in hearing about the Lord, then what they are engaged in? They are engaged in various kinds of extensive work. For what? For material sense gratification. The whole theme of this prayer is based upon the conception that living entity carries in this material world. And that conception is? Yes, Deho Asmi. I'm the body, but not spirit soul. And because they consider themselves as a body, to facilitate this body, they create havoc in this world. Because Lord has provided what we need, but our greed is far greater than what we need. And to satisfy that greed, As Brahmaji says here, Nishi Nishaya, they work hard even at nights also. You can see animals, or especially birds. In the twelfth night they wake up, and before night comes, after sunset, immediately they go to sleep. They follow the perfect cycle of day and night. You will not find any birds, they are flying at night to get their food, do they? No. But human being so much greedy, he works around the clock. And that's the thing, that he's such a great person, you know, he's so sincere, he's so serious, he's so integrated for his job. But that's not the way of living. And what is the result of that activity actually? It says, Nishi Nishayanaha. Their intelligence constantly breaks their sleep with the various plans and speculations. In this purport, Prabhupada elaborately explains that how people in this material world, they are suffering. He says that as described in the previous verse, people who have no taste for devotional service of the Lord are occupied in material engagements. Most of them engage during their daytime in hard physical labor. Their senses are engaged very extensively in troublesome duties in the gigantic plans of a heavy industrial enterprises. And Prabhupada says, these are nothing but hells in today's world. He says that factory is another name of hell. At night, hellishly engaged person take advantage of a wine and women to satisfy their tired senses, but they are not even able to have a sound sleep, because their various mental speculative plans constantly interrupt their sleep. Because they suffer from insomnia, sometimes they feel sleepy in the morning for lack of sufficient rest. By the arrangement of a supernatural power, even the great scientists and thinkers of the world suffer frustration of their various plans and thus rot in the material world, birth after birth. As explained in this verse, that sansruti means taking birth and dying again. It's the cycle of birth and death, which goes continuously, you know, uninterrupted. Once you take a devotional service, then that cycle may get interrupted. You may not have come back if you are engaged in the devotional service. This verse particularly mentions that even sages who are averse to the principles of devotional service to the Lord are also condemned to undergo the terms of material existence. So it's not that the person who is spiritually inclined, but having his own speculations, that person will also continue birth and death, the cycle of birth and death in this material world. Not only in this age, but formerly also, there were many sages who tried to invent their own system of religion without reference to devotional service to the Supreme Lord. But there cannot be any religious principle without devotional service to the Lord. Like there are so many philosophies, Nyayas, logic, Vaishashake, Sankhya. There are two kind of Sankhya. One is given by Lord Kapila, and there is one given by atheistic Kapila. His Sankhya is more prominently preached nowadays, actually. And there is another great scholar or muni. His name is Charvaka, who has given the materialism, actually. His philosophy is that Yavat jivet sukham jivet ranam kritva ghritam pibet bhasmi bhutasya dehasya kim punaragaman bhavet. As long as you are alive, eat with clarified butter, you know. For that you can bake, borrow, steal, doesn't matter. Because once this body is burned, turns into ashes, who knows what's going to happen. So that's the most of the modern people, modern philosopher, they follow this particular philosophy. But this is not a religion. Religion without devotion to the Lord is just chaos, nothing else. And if you go and visit Pan India, you will find this chaos everywhere. Because they have forgot the principle of devotion as a religion. And that's why Prabhupada very clearly mentions in this purport that there cannot be any religious principle without devotional service to the Lord. The Supreme Lord is the leader of the entire range of living entities. And no one can be equal to or greater than Him. Even the Lord's impersonal feature and all-pervading localized feature, which is Brahmajyoti and Paramatma, cannot be on an equal level with the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. I think day before yesterday we were discussing that same topic here in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada clearly mentions who is in the full knowledge, the person who has a clear idea about the Supreme Personality of a Godhead, who is Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. The impersonal feature of the Lord Brahma Jyoti has only one concept, that is Sat, eternity. Paramatma, the localized aspect of the Krishna, which is present in everyone's heart, has two aspects, Sat and Chit, that is eternity plus knowledge. And the blissful form, Vigraha, Ananda Vigraha, that is present in the Supreme Personality of a Godhead, Krishna. And that's why Prabhupada clearly says here that the Supreme Lord is the leader of the entire range of living entities. And no one can be equal or greater than Him. Even the Lord's impersonal feature and all-pervading localized feature, which is Paramatma, cannot be on the equal level with the Supreme Personality of the God. Therefore, there cannot be any religion or system of genuine philosophy for the advancement of the living entities without the principle of devotional service. So if you really want to make a progress in your spiritual life, then you need to accept the principle of devotional service. And to give evidence for that, then Prabhupada says that the impersonalist who take much trouble in penance and austerity for self-liberation may approach the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. But ultimately, because of not being situated on the devotional service, they glide down again to the material world to undergo another term of a material existence. And this is confirmed as follows. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd chapter, the demigods, this particular verse is also spoken by Brahmaji only. He says there, ye anne arvindaksha vimuktamanina stvaya sadbhavada vishuddha buddhayaha aruya krichena parampadam tata patyantyoda anadruta yushmadapadangraye. Person who are falsely under the impression of being liberated without devotional service to the Lord may reach the goal of Brahma Jyoti, But because of their impure consciousness and for want of shelter in the Vaikunthas, such a so-called liberated person again fall down into material existence. That's why this Mayavadis, they doesn't get spiritual world. They don't go to spiritual world. They go to the Brahmajyoti and again they fall down from there. Actually, attaining Brahmajyoti is called as a spiritual suicide. In China, they have one particular kind of punishment, and that is meant for the intellectuals who use their brain a lot. So these impersonalists, they are like that only. They use their brain. Through Jnana Yoga, they wanted to attain everything. They want to merge into the existence of God. But that merging itself is a great punishment. And what is that? If you learn this particular punishment given in China for the intellectuals, what they do? They put that most intelligent person in a cubicle of 10 by 10 feet, 3 meter by 3 meter. And the all four walls, floor and ceiling, completely white. Lights inside, they are also completely white. Whatever furniture inside, that is also white. The food they offer him to eat, that is also white. Clothes that he is wearing, that is also white. There is no variety at all. What happens? Within a month, that person goes crazy. Because there is no variety. If there is no variety, there is no happiness. There is no pleasure at all. Because variety is the spice of life. That's what Prabhupada mentions in one purport. If that spice is not there, then everything becomes tasteless. So same thing happens with the impersonalists when they attain the Brahmajyoti. Wherever they see only light, nothing else. And Jiva, being conditioned in this material body, he is so active. What do you think? If he leaves this material body, he will not be active? Will he remain sane? Like if you have captured one small mouse and that is kept in a small cage. He goes back and forth, even though that cage is so small also. And once you release that, what will happen? So same way, the living entity who is so active, do we think that he will become totally inert and inactive when he goes to Brahmajyoti?
No.
He can't sustain there. Then he has to come down. Patanti adaha. They have to fall down in this material world. If from there they want to go to Vaikuntha, they have to come back here again, perform devotional service and then go back. It's not that from Brahmajyoti itself they will go to the Vaikuntha. That's very difficult. Unless and until there they get association of some devotee. And from there, if that devotee can drag him to the Vaikuntha. Otherwise, everyone has to come down to this particular place, Martya Loka, where you can perform activities, especially the devotional service, and then go back home back to Godhead. Further, Prabhupada says, therefore, no one can manufacture any system of religion without the principle of devotional service to the Lord. As we find in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the initiator of the religious principle is the Lord Himself. In Bhagavad Gita also, we find that the Lord condemns all forms of religion other than that which entails the process of surrendering unto the Supreme. Any system which leads one to the devotional service of the Lord and nothing else is actually religion or a philosophy. In the sixth canto, we find the following statements of Yamaraj, the controller of unfaithful living entities. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam navai vidur rasyarushayo napi devaha na siddha mukhya sura manushyaha kuto nu vidyadhar charanadaya svayambhur narado shambhu kumar kapilo manuhu prallhado janako bhishmo balirvaya sakirvayam dvadashaiti vidnyanyimo dharmam bhagava bhagavatam bhataha guhyam vishuddham durbodham yam jnatva amritam ashnute. If someone follows the religion, what is the result of that following of religion? Amritam ashnute. Amritam means he attains that place which is amritaha. There is a no death. And who has given this system? The system is given by the Lord Himself. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The principle that Lord has given Himself. And who has carried them forward? This 12 Mahajanas. Bhataha. Bhata means who has followed, accepted, experienced, applied this principle in their life. And then they have propagated this. So this Bhataha, this 12 Mahajanas, if you follow their footstep, then it is said that Guhyam Vishuddha Durbodham Yab Jnatvar Amritam Ashnute. Even though it is Durbodham, if you want to sit yourself and read this, you are not going to understand it. Unless and until you sit with the devotee and discuss about this. And result of this is Yad Jnatva Amritam Ashnute. You will attain that immortality. Then further Prabhupada says that principle of a religion are not open to any ordinary living entities. Not any Tom, Dick, Harry can accept this principle. That's not possible. They are just to bring the human being onto the platform of morality. Non-violence, etc. are necessary for a misguided person, because unless one is moral and non-violent, one cannot understand the principles of religion. So for that only these four regulative principles are there. At least they can bring you at the platform of human being. It is very confidential, because as soon as one is conversant with the real principles of religion, he is at once liberated to the eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Therefore, one who is situated in the principles of a devotional service to the Lord should not pose himself as a religious leader of the innocent public. The Ishopanishad emphatically forbids this nonsense, as in the following mantra. There are so-called so many spiritual leaders are there. They claim that they are teaching spirituality to the common human being, or Prabhupada says, innocent people or innocent public. What happens to them? That has explained in this verse of Ishopanishad. What will be their destination? Andhattamah pravishanti ye sambhutam upasate tato bhuyaya ivate tamo yo u sambhutayam rataha. A person in ignorance of the principles of religion, who therefore does nothing in the matter of religion, is far better than a person who misguides others in the name of a religion without reference to a factual religious principles of devotional service. Such a so-called leader of a religion are sure to be condemned by Brahma and other great authorities, because his destination is andaha tamaha pravishanti. He will enter into the darkest region of a hell. Nowadays people, they think that it's easy business, no? To make a money, just put on a saffron robe and be Baba or some spiritual preceptor or leader and preach. But what will be his destination? He will enter into the darkest region of hellish planets. And as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, andha yathandor, if blind follows the blind, the ultimate destination is ditch. So, nowadays you will find so many so-called spiritual leaders are there who are, on the name of a spirituality, they are spreading only mundane consciousness, which is based on the material conception of a life. And it's not that Brahmaji is not knowing that. That's why in the beginning of a creation, he is explaining all these things. My Lord, it's my desire to lord it over, so you have given me this power to create this material world and facilitate all the conditioned living entities to have specific body according to their previous karma, or either to get entangled in the conception of materialism or to get rid of this material conception of life. It depends upon their own activities. So my Lord, please, I'm praying at your lotus feet that I should not get entangled in this. That's the prayer of Brahma. He said, it was my desire by which I wanted to enjoy Lord it over. That's why you have given me this position. But now I'm praying at your lotus feet. Let me get rid of this material conception of a life. And next words is very important. So you can do some homework. You go through the text 11 of this particular chapter. And there, Brahmaji, he himself, who is our Pradhana Acharya, the principal, the foremost spiritual master of our Sampradaya, has given a wonderful path through which we can attain the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. And it's that path has accepted by all the spiritual perceptor who came in our chain of disciplic succession and has perfected their life. So whatever he is giving us, it is an applied knowledge. It's not just theoretical hypothesis, but it is applied knowledge through which you can experiment with and you can get the result that has already given. So we'll stop here today and we'll continue next Saturday with the wonderful words where he has given a wonderful path. If we walk on that path, definitely we are going to get the shelter at the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of a Godhead, Govinda. Shri Shri Radha Govinda Dev Bhagavan ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki.